Good morning, family. For those of you that I have not met, it might be help you that I am married to Brad, 33 years. Yeah. We have, I call them my blood cubs and my love cubs. So I gave birth to Josh and Elena. Josh and Rachel, and they're both married, so I have, we have four kids, and Brandon is married to Rachel, and Elena married to Josh, and we have the amazing blessing of a granddaughter. Do you know how hard it is as a grandma not to put my granddaughter's picture up here? But I'm just going to tell you, if you want to see picture afterwards, I got tons of them. So, you know, come see me. If you will join me in Luke 5, that's where we're going to start today. And when Brian and Kemp asked me to share a passage of scripture that meant a lot to me, I knew what I wanted to share, because what's recorded in Luke 5 has dramatically changed my life. I'm not a fisherwoman. Anybody? Fisher people? Fisherwoman? Fishermen? I see a few. Okay. Yeah. I'm not a fisherwoman, but this is a fisherman's tale. Luke 5, 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down, taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. Last Sunday, Jasmine encouraged us to submit to the Father as a surgeon who removes the dead and broken things in our lives so that new things can grow. Today, I want to explore the Father's role as an eye doctor. So the call of Jesus' life on Peter is the same call he has for all of us that follow Jesus, to look beyond what seems to be and see with the eyes of faith. So at this point in chapter 5 of Luke, Peter has been following Jesus for a few months, some estimate for about 6 months. He and his brother Andrew had been following Jesus. We'll call them casual followers. And before that, they were students of John the Baptist, and they often heard the words, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near." We know that Peter didn't have any formal training beyond what all Jewish boys receive at that time. But we also know, religious tradition tells us, that the site of Peter's house was 84 feet from the doors of the synagogue. Peter and his wife and his mother-in-law lived in that two-story house with Andrew, and it is probable that Jesus stayed with them while he was in town. In the Gospel of John, we have a record of Peter meeting Jesus for the very first time. John 1:42. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of Jonah, but you will be called Cephas, Peter, the Rock." This was a prophetic title, the Rock, not a name used in that culture then. Jesus saw not only who Simon was, but he saw who Simon was about to be. What is recorded in Luke 5 is what I call Peter's trip to the eye doctor, in which Jesus would further tune Peter's vision. Imagine, if you would, with me, the scene in Luke 5. It's morning. The sun is just high enough that it's getting a little bit humid, much like today. You're standing by the lapping seas, waves of the Sea of Galilee. There's a gentle wind blowing. The birds are probably calling each other overhead, trying to profit from the night's catch of fish. The text in Luke 5 gives us clues as to what Peter and his companions had been doing all night, fishing. Apparently, the most productive fishing spots in all the Sea of Galilee are located near the mouths of many rivers and streams that feed the Sea of Galilee. And so it was in these shallow waters that grew vegetation that the fish liked to eat. So the fishermen, they'd go out at night when it wasn't quite as hot, when the fish were more active, and they'd be more inclined to eat the little vegetation, and they would fish by torchlight. The very most successful and the very best fishermen, that's the way they fished. And Peter was a fisherman and very successful fisherman. But that morning, he came up empty-handed. And it's interesting to note that Jesus came to Peter the morning after he came up empty-handed, when all of Peter's knowledge, resources, and experience amounted to nothing. There's a familiarity between Peter and Jesus when Jesus uses Peter's boat for a pulpit that morning. And it's my guess that Peter listened just a little more intently as his rabbi got into his boat while he was mending and cleaning his nets that morning. After Jesus' teaching was over, he turns to Peter and he gives him a curious command. "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." It's at this moment that I believe there was some awkward, strange glances between Peter and his companions and Jesus. Have you ever had those moments, those strange moments when someone asked you something a little strange, maybe a little bit different, and you knew in that moment, however you answered that question or you took that action, that everything was about to change, when time and space, just for a moment, seemed to stand still? I think that's what was happening to Peter at that time. A time where Peter would have to decide if he was willing to look a little bit crazy in front of all the other fishermen. He didn't know how this was all going to turn out. It was an invitation from Jesus to Peter to see him in a whole new way. Now, there were a whole lot of excuses that Peter could have offered at that time. Peter had every right to give an excuse, to say no. Put yourself in Peter's sandals just for a minute and see if any of these make sense to you. The sun's up. It's hot. You've scared away all of the fish with your loud preaching. We have been at this all night. I'm tired. I just need some me time. Besides, my wife, she's at home. We don't want to make her mad. I've already washed my nets. I'm ready to go home. this really isn't a good time. Can we schedule this maybe for tomorrow? I'm the expert here. I got this. You don't know much about fishing. After all, you're a carpenter. Let's do this my way. But in this moment, with all these excuses floating around in Peter's head, were also all the many hours logged listening to Jesus' teaching, watching him speak with authority in the synagogues and taking command over sickness and demons. Luke 4 records Peter's own mother-in-law receiving a miraculous healing of sickness in his own house. Up to this point, everything that Peter had witnessed was for everybody else. But in this moment, it was about to get very personal. We've already established the minds of professional fishermen and that deep water fishing doesn't make a bit of sense. Yet this was this directive given to Peter. So it will shock and amaze you that if you look up the word deep in the Greek Bible, the term deep means deep, as in deep sea. I was shocked too. However, catch this. If you look further into the word, it's interesting to note that the same exact word used for deep that Jesus was calling Peter into, it's the same word for deep the Apostle Paul uses to describe both the wisdom and love of God. Ooh, I got God bumps now. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Romans 8:39. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Push out into the deep. Is it possible that what Jesus was calling Peter to that day wasn't just a miraculous fishing spot? Is it possible that there was so much more being offered? After all, Jesus could have just had those fish just march right up on shore, plop down at Peter's feet, and just kind of lay there, right? He could have done that. It is possible that Jesus wanted Peter to begin to see something different. The miracles that he'd been seeing, the gospel message that he'd been hearing wasn't just for everybody else, it was for Peter too. Push out into the deep. Oftentimes, it does not make sense. And friends, sometimes it looks a little crazy. Push out into the deep where Jesus is the hero of the story. And you and I can probably interpret deep waters as hard or impossible situations. And sometimes it is, but not always. Sometimes it's learning about and practicing Sabbath and daily priorities so that you have space and time to listen to Jesus. That requires sacrifice. Sometimes deep waters might mean keeping a balance in life. Deep waters might mean walking beside people through heartbreaking situations. Deep waters might be a diagnosis, a job loss, a change. Deep waters might mean fighting for your marriage when you just rather give up. Deep waters might mean learning about forgiveness or giving grace. Deep waters, a space to look beyond what seems to be and see with the eyes of faith. Push out into the deep. After what probably were moments of awkward silence and glances, Peter finally gives his reply to Jesus. It's found in verse 6. because you say so, I will. And that response changes everything. There has to be response to the invitation to the deep waters. And you have to know who is issuing the invitation. You get the impression that Peter would have said no to anybody else that had issued that invitation. And it seems like to Jesus, he almost said no. But there was something different he was beginning to see in Jesus. And in this moment, along the shores of Galilee, Peter made a decision about the role of Jesus' authority in his life. It's here that I need to testify how these six words, because you say so, I will, have impacted my life. Many years ago, I was asking the Lord to take my walk deeper. And then at the same moment, I was in place of both contentment and security. I had a part-time job working at a Christian school as a public school employee, earning public school pay and public school retirement. I worked 3 minutes from my house. I thought, this is where I'm going out to pasture. This is it. Jesus had other plans. And it was there that the Lord called me away from the ministry of teaching into full-time ministry to women and children caught in sex trafficking. I went to the ministry where they had no position for me and certainly no pay. I remember sitting in the parking lot of the school board office with a resignation letter in my hand, and I thought, you know, for good measure, I'm just going to park here and pray just to make sure God knows what he's doing. Sat there and prayed, God, are you sure this is what we're doing? Because he said so, I did. Fast forward a few years, and we all found ourselves in the midst of the pandemic. And while others were sent home for a few weeks or months, my position in outreach as an essential worker pushed me out into deep waters. And just when I thought I had waded into the deepest, darkest, scariest waters I'd ever experienced in my entire life, Jesus showed me there were deeper places that he wanted me to go. And if I'm honest, there were days that the deep looked overwhelmingly scary, and I battled fear and anxiety. But I was never alone. Let me tell you just a few things that I learned about my Jesus during that time. He is God who sees me. And he hears me. And he hears and sees those whom many use and throw away, or at best just walk on by. He is my protector. As ministry often called our teams into places even police hesitated to go. He's my provider. Time after time after time, when money or food or provision showed up, when all human resources had been tapped out. He's the healer. That one I cannot explain, but I have seen it with my own eyes. He is the deliverer, breaking years of addiction and trauma. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every demonic knee bows to his authority. Yeah. There are many of you in this room that have also answered, because you say so, I will. I will choose this day to live a life free of addiction, because you're the one who sets the captives free. We will sell our house and move hundreds of miles away from the life we knew, because you are the author of our story. I will take kids into my home that aren't my own to show them love and maybe a different way of life because you are the everlasting Father. I will not fear the diagnosis because I know the great physician and he is in charge of my life. It doesn't make sense, does it? But it's the adventure that he calls us into. I would love to stand here and tell you that adventures with Jesus always ends with a boat full of fish. But we know from scriptures and history that is not always the case, is it? But the fish really aren't the point of this. Jesus is. But here, the dumb fishes clearly preach Christ as the Son of God. Jesus' invitation to Peter is the same one he gives to you and I. Look beyond what seems to be and see with the eyes of faith. Can you imagine the scene? A boat so full of fish flopping and flipping around. Imagine that smell. Peter had to call over another boat. They filled up that boat, and the boats are so full that they start to sink. Now, that's a fisherman's tale. Jeez. And in the midst of all those slimy, stinky fish, there was a lesson just for Peter. And you better believe he got it. That boat that became a pulpit now becomes an altar. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter's vision changed that day. Not only was he seeing Jesus for who he was, in humility and honesty, Peter confesses the truth. I'm sinful, and you are holy. And then he asked Jesus something he probably really didn't want. Go away from me. Go away from me. And in Peter's confession, Jesus speaks peace, forgiveness, and truth. He also speaks a new identity and a new job from fisherman to fisher of men. Peter, I see you. Do you see me? You're only just beginning a glimpse of who I am. Keep your eyes on me. Let me set your vision straight. See me and know me. And I will radically change the way you see yourself and love others. Look beyond what seems to be and see with the eyes of faith. Verse 11. So they pulled up their boats up on shore, left everything and followed them. Notice the word they. This isn't about Peter anymore. So when the line is drawn in the sand that morning on the Galilean shore, it was a call to Peter. But Peter's surrender led others to follow Jesus as well. They left everything and followed him. They left what they spent all night working on, probably all their lives dreaming about, the miraculous catch. In my Bible, it's titled, The Miraculous Catch. But friends, it wasn't about fish at all. They caught Jesus. Probably more along the lines that Jesus caught them, right? And now with the clarity of vision of who Jesus is, they left everything and followed him. And if we're honest, we will admit that to follow, to really leave everything behind, to release the nets, to release everything you've been chasing after all your life is an absolutely terrifying prospect. our most natural response would be just like Peter's, to fall down on our knees and say, "Go away from me. What you are asking is far too hard. I can't deal with it, and I can't possibly be the person you're asking this from." All the while clinging to the nets. The nets that, for all their knowledge, experience, resources, come up empty-handed time and time again. See, we can't receive from Jesus what he wants to give to us if our hands are clenched on the nets that we keep holding on to. And it's uncomfortable to let go. But we have to be uncomfortable for just a little while we receive what the Lord of the universe wants to give us. But we don't do it alone. Notice, standing beside them was Jesus, and he stands beside us as well. He confidently whispers to us, "Don't be afraid. Let go of the nets. Don't be afraid. After all, it's me. Because you say so, I will." Worship leaders, will you come back up? I'm curious this morning who you would say he is. Because it's a question that demands an answer. We sing a worship song here whose words say, "When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light you bring. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise because there's resurrection life in all you do." Church, do we believe this? Whew, that's the game changer. Because what is significant about Peter and all those stinky, slimy fish is not Peter. It's not the fish. It's not you and me. It's the one who called Peter. It's the one who calls you. And our victory does not depend on us. Our victory depends on God, who he is and what he will do. He's more than an idea or a teacher or for somebody else. He loves you. He cares deeply for you. Because you say so, I will. These are dangerous words. A call to adventure, if you will. What's he calling you to? See, Jesus didn't die on the cross just to keep us nice and safe inside a church and a home, not affecting the world around us. Jesus died to make us dangerous in this world. But know with the invitation that he gives you, he's right there with you. Excited to change the way you see things, to look beyond what seems to be and see with the eyes of faith.